Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 56 of the Unleash Your Inner Legend podcast with Holly Kitchens. Today, I am thrilled to have a powerhouse boss lady with us, Nicole Espinoza, who is a best-selling author of Short Sales Uncensored and has been negotiating short sales in DFW and Houston market since 2011. She's launched her company, The Short Sale Queen, in 2019, allowing her team to process short sales nationwide and is currently in 11 markets. Nicole has been featured in several panels on real estate, podcasts, TV segments, and so much more. You guys just Google her and see her everywhere. She also teaches classes when it comes to short sales, to other brokerages, title companies, and real estate associations. Super excited. Welcome the one, the only Nicole Espinoza. What's going on, girl?
Hey, girl. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh my gosh, that was like such a like a long-winded intro, but like I couldn't like skip anything out of there because you are absolutely amazing and killing it in everything you do. And I'm just super excited to have you on the podcast and just your story is amazing. So yeah, very grateful for you to be with us.
Thank you.
So like I said, you have this inspiring story. You're always making motivating moves for everyone watching you. I cannot wait to share. So I just want to kind of kick this episode off. You did a TikTok, it's like a couple weeks ago, I think. I mean, probably like months ago. I don't know. I'm so bad with time. But you did this TikTok. And I was thinking, like, you go, girl. Like, I already knew you were awesome. But the TikTok said, like, before, overweight, divorced, struggling to build a business. And 4 years, you lost 50 pounds. You worked yourself to be a better leader, a better mom, a better friend, and just overall better woman. So let's just kind of kick this episode off talking about like that story. So take me back 5 years ago, 6 years ago, whatever it was that you were struggling. And let's just talk about your journey to the kick-ass person you are today.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. When I did that TikTok, it's funny because people think it's so easy when you are constantly sharing vulnerable on social media, but every single time I do something like that, I get my knots in my stomach and I'm like, oh, am I oversharing, you know, whatever. But it's definitely something I'm extremely proud of because it wasn't really about the weight. It was just more of where I was mentally. Yeah. And to see the change of how I've evolved as a leader, as a person, as a mom, as you know, everything has just been, I mean, it's a constant journey, right? Because our mindset is a constant thing that we're doing every single day. And that, I think, mastering your mind, I think, has been the biggest struggle. And I think it's completely underrated when people don't see the importance of the difference between someone that, you know, is successful and not successful. Like a lot of times it doesn't matter the circumstances or, you know, what's been given to them or not. A lot of times it's just, they keep going, right? The person that is successful just keeps moving forward despite how crappy, you know, the situation is. So if you take it back 5 years, you know, I was broke. Like I remember at that time, you know, I was still winning like awards and that's why, you know, I don't even take those seriously because I felt like such a fraud. Like I'm getting all these real estate awards, but I didn't know how to run my business and I wasn't running my business like a business. And my expenses were out of control. I didn't figure out how to streamline or really get a good team. I was married at the time and going through an awful divorce, which I ate all my feelings. So I, you know, I gained a ton of weight and I'm just really stressed out. And I had always, I think as a woman, like it's just this, especially as a mom, like it's always this like instinct, like everything's more important than you. Right? You're just like, you got to take care of everything. You got to take care of, you know, work, you got to take care of your kids. And you kind of always fall at the very bottom of priority. And that's how I live my entire life because my entire mindset up until now was survival. It wasn't like, hey, I want to better myself. It was like, I'm just trying to survive. And so that mindset was so crippling for me because I had high blood pressure and I was so young. I was in my 20s and I didn't know any better. Like I wasn't taught any different except, you know, just keep moving forward. Right. So at the time, you know, I started after I went through this like journey of just working on myself, right? Like starting just mentally of like putting myself first. And it was just this idea of, you know, I always had this thing where, and everybody says this, when you're in the hustle and grind, like I don't have time, right? Yep. Like, I don't have time. I don't have time to work out. I don't have time to take care of myself. And that was always my go-to. And then finally, I got to this breaking point where I was like, I have to make time. Like, I can't continue to live my life like this. Like, I'm so young and I'm so miserable. Like, what is the point? I had been doing like that hustle and grind mentality for so long because in entrepreneurship, it's so glorified. Like, don't sleep, just grind, you know, sell, make money. And it's like, no, actually, when you spend time with wealthy people, they work 10 hours a week, 15 hours a week.
They don't hustle. Yeah.
No, they're like, their hustle is the fact that they put the systems and automation in place to remove themselves. Like that grind, that whatever is really egocentric. It's really like, hey, look at me. I'm doing this, but you're really not getting anywhere. You're not having any traction. So in the beginning, when you build your business, yes, you have to be that person. You have to, you know, roll up your sleeves and work. But eventually the goal is to remove yourself. And so I had to, you know, fast forward, losing weight just came as a result of it when I started putting like my mental health as a priority. So it's been crazy.
That's amazing. I love that you pointed out about hustle because, you know, 10 years ago when I got into real estate, it was hustle, hustle, hustle. And you're absolutely right. You do have to put the work in to, you know, make a name for yourself to get the business going. But I think people are so like, oh, I've got to hustle. But like to me, I'm like, I almost associate with a negative.
Now I do.
Because I'm like, I'm not trying to hustle. I'm trying to enjoy my life. I'm trying to enjoy, you know, people around me. I'm trying to enjoy the presence versus like always working or always grinding. And I think that's when people experience the burnout is they misunderstand that they have to hustle, quote unquote, hustle all the time instead of understanding like, where's that balance? So, you know, you said you woke up one day and just like, okay, enough is enough. I've got to pull myself together and put myself first. Like, was there a moment in time that was just kind of like, this is enough, Nicole?
Oh yeah. I mean, it was when I was in the hospital because I had high blood pressure and I had fired my entire staff because I was like, this is not working. I was still involved in every single role. So it was like, I had people there, but they weren't really there. And I was micromanaging them. I'm like, okay, this isn't working. So in Nicole fashion, I let everybody go at once. And I was like, I'm starting over. And I had like made this commitment in my mind where I was like, okay, I'm going to try this again. I'm going to rebuild my business. And if it doesn't work, I'm done. Like, I don't care anymore or whatever. And so I started like networking and like talking to people that were much smarter than me. And the thing is that it wasn't intentional, but I never had a mentor or a coach because in my mind, I was like, I'm just going to do the work. I'm just going to do it. I don't need anybody to teach me. Like, I've always had this solution oriented, figure it out mindset. But I was literally in my own way because there are things that I learned from other people that took them 2 seconds to regurgitate to me, but it took them 3 years to figure out on themselves. So why wouldn't I put myself in a situation or in an environment where I can just learn from other people's mistakes? And so it was very humbling, but for like 6 months, I would pursue people that were, I mean, like millionaires, billionaires, like people that were running, you know, 7-8-figure businesses. And I would just pick their brain and say, okay, how do you run this? And the best advice I got from so many of them were, you know, I read this book, Scaling Up, and I talk about this a lot, you know, on my show is like, this book really changed my mindset because it said, a couple of key things. It talks about how to be purposeful with the people in your organization and very logistical, but it literally said, and this is why I fired everybody. They said, okay, if you did a evaluation of your entire company and you had to rehire, would you rehire everyone in your organization? I'm like, I wouldn't hire anyone again. And so I decided, I was like, you know what? I have to, in order for me to know or hire good people, I have to have the idea of like what they look like. What are their personalities? And so I did extensive research on what I was looking for. I started reading books that were literally the opposite of the way I thought. And that helped tremendously because as salespeople, we kind of gravitate to people like us, right? Charismatic, driven, high Ds. And I needed people to balance me out and make up for my weaknesses. And so it changed my entire perspective. And that's why I started doing one hire at a time. And I stopped hiring out of I started being proactive instead of hiring people because I felt like I was drowning and just like kind of survival. And it was more purposeful and intentional.
I love that.
Everything.
I love that too. And you know, another good question too is when it comes to, would you rehire the people you're working with? It's, would you hire yourself too? Like a lot of us business owners, like we get comfortable or we think whatever, but then it's at the end of the day, it's like, what are you putting in work into? Like, would you hire you? And I think once we answer that question too, because it's kind of like, okay, now are we being good leaders? So I love that. I absolutely love that. So you go from, you know, being broke, unhappy, unhealthy to, okay, let's just fire everybody. Like, let's just control-alt-delete. We're going to control-alt-delete this game. Yeah. And then start building this incredible team. So at what point in your career, because like right now, I mean, like I know you as the short sale queen as well as everybody else does, right? But like, obviously, we all know if you're in real estate, or even if you're not in real estate, you should be familiar with the short sell idea in the sense of it's short sell is right before foreclosure. So it's helping a family or people get out of their home before they go into foreclosure. So that process itself is not an easy one emotionally or as well as just business-wise. There's a lot of detail going to it. So as a brand new agent, more than likely, you're not going to say, okay, I can't wait to get this business and get into short sales. So like, what led you from, you know, being into real estate to really embracing what a lot of people don't like to embrace, which is short sales?
So I actually, so I started the business in REO, which is the foreclosure, real estate owned foreclosure market, back in 2008. So my exposure, like right off the bat, was with banks and with the lenders. And so I was working with asset managers and that's all I knew. Right. So that was, once I got out and I got licensed, I didn't want to work for the banks anymore. I was like, that this is a miserable job. Like I was evicting homeowners. I mean, I was on the other side of it, of what we try to avoid now.
Yeah.
So in 2011 is when I got my first short sale and everyone around me was like, just let it go. This is going to be a waste of time. The banks don't agree. And for me, the way I thought, I'm very solution oriented. I'm very outside the box. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Let me just try and figure this out. And I literally called Aquin at the time. And I was on the phone for like an hour and a half, just asking a million questions. And I'm sure this guy like hated me because he could not hang up on me or get off the phone. And I literally was like, you know what? I'm going to figure this out. I mean, one, because I got a listing. So any agent that's watching this can resonate with the fact that you're like, I got this listing. Like, I want to figure this out. So it was more of like ignorance. And then once I started figuring out, I realized no one understood this. It was a whole other world. And then I just kind of fell into it. And then I started doing it and started prospecting for them and then really developed my process over the years. And then I started teaching about it. And when I started teaching to other agents, that's how I was building my brand, because they were like, okay, she's the expert. She knows. Now, fast forward, you know, 10 years later, I wrote the book on it. So
yeah. Not only are you the expert, but you also wrote the book, not one book, but two books on it. And we'll definitely touch into that here in a minute. But so you go through, you're finally, you know, thriving. What would you say is the, other than, you know, the book scaling up, what would you say was something that drove you personally to make that change? Because we all are miserable from time to time. I mean, me personally, I'm currently struggling with making time for myself.
Yeah.
So what would you contribute to taking that action? And then what advice would you give to someone who's looking to start making time for themselves versus using the excuse, you know, I'm busy or I've got other things to do?
So when I told you that I was meeting with people that were much smarter than me, that were like these people that were making like serious, serious goals, right? Yeah. I realized that I was like, okay, what kind of lifestyle do I want? Like, what do I want my life to look like? And I created my life based off of that. And for me, I was a single mom at the time with two kids. And I'm like, I don't want to work just to one day have my kids say, yeah, my mom worked really hard. Like, that's not what I want. Like, I wanted to be a present mom. And so I had to be around for that, right? So all my health, I had to figure that out. But also mentally, like I was the queen of burnout. I'm the queen of short sales, but I was the queen of burnout. Like I would go really hard. I mean, and everyone in my organization knew it too. It would be like, oh, it's Nicole's burnout day. Cause I would go so hard for like a month and then I couldn't get out of bed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can't do this. And so if you are, a lot of times it's because we lack clarity. And so when we feel like we don't have direction of like, you know, how do I do this? Where do I start? I don't have time for myself. It's because you're not clear about what you want. Because if you were clear about what you wanted in your life, then you would do what it takes to get there. Right. So for me, I was like, I want to only work 20 to 25 hours a week, but I also want you know, this income, I want passive income. I knew what I wanted, and I wanted to have a lifestyle where I was successful in every area of my life. Like, we get into this hustle and grind, and we are deceived into thinking that success just means income. Like, no, success means freedom. Like, success means being able to hop on a plane because you just feel like going to the beach and nothing, your business doesn't come crashing down. Like, success means that business is coming and your phone's ringing regardless of whether you decided to work that day. Like, and so for me, I was clear of like, okay, I want a life with my children. I wanted to be able to travel and I wanted the income that I wanted. And so that's what I worked towards building. And that was kind of like the aha moment for me when I was talking to this guy and he was telling me, he's like, I work 20 hours a week, like in 4 hours a day. He's like, I'm more productive because I'm focused. I know exactly what I'm going to do than most people will be all week because they're just wandering around like, well, I'm on Facebook for 4 hours. Like, okay, I'm doing this, but they're not purposeful with their time or intentional. And so that was kind of like that switch for me.
I love it. That's awesome. That's fantastic advice too. And like, you know, we all catch ourselves saying we don't have enough time, but yet somehow we have time to binge watch Netflix or we have time to scroll and watch other people's lives and be successful while we sit there and, you know, not do anything about it. I love that. That's fantastic advice. And I appreciate you kind of diving a little bit deeper into that. Yeah. So let's talk about your books. And I would love to, first off, I want to talk about like what they're titled because you have one you wrote and then you just recently released one this year. So let's talk about your books.
So Short Sales Uncensored is on Amazon and there's also an audiobook. And so I actually have them right here. So this one is more of like a like brief introduction to short sales. It's great because it gives you enough information to really determine like, hey, this is what I want to do or I want to run away from it. So this is really good. But this is like the one that we just released this year is the manual. So you can tell a huge difference.
Wow.
340 pages. This is the, our inspiration was like the, how to do short sales, like the short sales for dummies. Right. So it's like a breakdown includes like the paperwork, because here's the thing, when it comes to the industry, this is the one niche that has a lack of education. Mm-hmm. Like this is the one niche that people come in and even the associations, our realtor associations on a national level has no freaking clue on how to advise agents, which blows my mind because I'm like, but it's because not every short sale is the same. So it's hard to standardize the teaching. So for me, we put everything in there, like the last 10 years, what our process is, like everything that we know, our secrets, everything's in that manual. And the manual really is the guide for our mentorship program. So we teach, the mentorship program is based off of this. But yeah, we've gotten great feedback. I mean, it's been crazy since we released it.
That's amazing. Yeah, that one looks definitely like a big like manual if you ever want to learn how to do something. Yeah.
And I'm not an author. Like I'm like, oh, it was very painful.
I bet. So my question for you too. So like as far as business, you're a very savvy businesswoman. So with your book, obviously you want to help and teach people, but what has a book done for you as a business owner? Has it kind of gave you a step up from somebody? Has it kind of dialed in and confirmed like, yeah, she is legit? Because I mean, if you think about it, you know, if you're at a listing appointment and someone shows up and says, hey, I'm going to help you with your short sale versus someone shows up and says, hi, I want to help you with my short sale. And here's my book I wrote on short sales in case if you need any clarification. What are some benefits that you firsthand have received when writing a book?
Well, I think it's just the credibility aspect. It's been Short Sales Uncensored. This one was the best marketing tool because this gave people an insight of who I was.
Yeah.
And it gave people an understanding of like, holy cow, she knows what she's talking about. So either they're going to be inspired from it and learn, because I've had people that are like, I got my first deal because I, you know, applied what you said. Or they're like, you're the expert here.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it. You do it. So it was a great introduction to like who we were, expanding our brand, especially national. We went national. It was a whole other ball game. Like we are 100% referral, which is huge for this business because we do such a high volume. Mm-hmm. Our team does over 100 short sales a month.
Wow.
So it's a lot of human beings. And because of we're only referral, like referral only, it's a lot to keep that momentum of constantly business. So when we went national, having that credibility when we entered into new markets was huge. I can say for people that are thinking about writing a book, just do it. If you put your thoughts down, you know, especially it'll help break you apart from the competition, because it does give you a level of credibility of, hey, this person obviously knows what they're talking about because they were able to formulate and put it on paper. So
I love it. Yeah. Cause you always hear about people talking about, I want to write a book. But I was just curious, like, you know, from hearing from your first hand experience.
I never was that person though. Like, yeah. I want to write a book. For me, I was like, I have no more words to say.
That's how, like, I struggle with that too. Cause it's like, I could write this big book or I could just tell you in like 5 sentences. You know what I mean? So I could totally see that.
Like, to the point. So it was very difficult. I was like, okay, dumb this down, Nicole, because I talk in shorthand because you do the same thing. You say the same thing all the time. Yeah. So that was definitely, it was especially 340 pages worth. So you're just like, okay. So yeah.
Crazy. So you have this nationwide team and obviously you're taking referrals. And so for everyone listening in, if you guys know either family member or friend that's going through the difficult process of maybe potentially losing their home, definitely hit up Nicole and her team. As you guys can hear, they are the experts when it comes to short sell. And as well as any agents tuning in, if that's an area that's outside of your expertise, let the professionals handle it. Make sure you reach out to Nicole to get that. So my question for you, leading on to that little plug, is right now, I mean, I feel like everywhere is just crazy. There's a lot going on in real estate in the market. You have, you know, open houses with the lines going out the door. You have people cashing out their life savings to purchase homes way above value. But then also the flip side too, you have places like in New Jersey that I believe it's in New Jersey. I know it's an East Coast place that like still today, they're allowing, you know, people to go rent free and not having to pay the landlord. So then there's almost like two sides of a fence right now. You have the people who are like, okay, hurry up and take my money. This is all I can give you. And then right. The other one saying, I cannot pay you this month, but currently they're not allowing us to, you know, I don't have to pay you if I can't. Right. Right. So my question is, what do you see kind of like the market doing when it comes to short sales within the next year to 3 years?
That's a great question. I think especially with agents with the hype right now, it's so hard to get a house. You know, I think nationwide we've seen feedback just from our YouTube. I'll always ask, I'm like, hey, tell me where you're from and what's going on in your market so we can kind of see a gauge that it's a seller's market. We know that inventory's low, but we also have to remember the bigger picture. So the bigger picture is the reason why we have such low inventory is because the economy has been pushed with so much stimulus money. Mm-hmm. It's protected the foreclosures until June. So there really hasn't been, nobody wants to move. Like there hasn't been an opportunity for properties to really be available because it's been protected, right? But once the protections are lifted and people have to pay or sell, we're going to start seeing a huge shift because there's going to be so much more inventory. Now, because there's such a lack of inventory, of course, at first we're going to start balancing out. The market's going to start balancing out. But eventually, with the amount of people in foreclosures, it's going to eventually adjust to a buyer's market. It may take a couple years depending on, you know, what they do with government programs. But there's just such a huge need with homeowners that just can't afford it. They're still unemployed. I mean, look at California. Like they're still not opened up. Like I can't even wrap my brain around how they're functioning and paying their bills. So you have places like New Jersey that have the highest default rate. I had in my last YouTube video, or it might have been the time before that, found statistics that just in Dallas-Fort Worth, which was insane, we have the highest level of pre-foreclosure rates right now of how many people are not paying their mortgage, which blows my mind because Texas is such a strong economy. And we had three of the major cities in Texas. So like, we just don't know. We just know how many people are not paying, right? We just don't know what's going to happen as far as how many people can afford to do loan modifications and reinstate their loans and how many people are going to be in a worse situation because of it. So the next 6 months to a year, we're going to start seeing, you know, things drastically change.
Well, and it's interesting too. And I'd love to hear your thoughts from, you know, short sale expert position is, you know, there was the deferment, there was, you know, well, let's just stop paying our house payment until, you know, whatever the banks. Now, a lot of people sign a piece of paper not understanding exactly other than thinking, oh, I don't have to pay my house bill for another 6 months. However, it's a lot deeper than that. So do you mind sharing a little bit too for those who might have signed that and then now they might be looking to sell in the next 2 to 3 months, but they're going to probably, there's a good chance they're going to get a surprise from their bank, correct?
Absolutely. So we actually have, I have a perfect example. I have a client right now that got referred to us that has a forbearance until June. She keeps pushing off. She's been able to extend it. She told us that her balance was based on what she thought. She told us her balance was like 250. And I'm like, okay, well, if your balance is 250, you're here locally, you should be able, you have plenty of equity. Yeah. When it came back at 290. And so there's a huge, because of escrow, because of all the payments, she had no idea that it was that high. Well, when you say 290 plus the repairs and things like that, you're starting, now you're in a situation because most people that are behind on their mortgage are also behind on their HOA on other bills that have to pertain to the house. So now when you factor all that in, now she's starting to get upside down, which is crazy because when you think about Frisco McKinney, you're like, no, there's no way people are spending $40,000, $50,000 over list, but that's how people become upside down. Yeah. Because their balance starts increasing. So the surprise is that you have to either pay when you are getting a forbearance. All it is like a pause for your mortgage payment. Once the forbearance is up, you have to pay the entire balance of what you're behind that you're in arrears and the next payment coming up. So a lot of times it's a very significant balance. If you didn't have the 1 month, you're not going to have 12 months. Yeah. The payment or 13 months. And then the only other option is to do a loan modification. But if you have no income or your income's reduced, and you don't qualify, you're not going to be able to qualify for the loan mod. So now you're in a situation where you haven't been paying, you don't qualify for any kind of assistance. So now you either have to sell if you have equity or face foreclosure. So of course, do a short sale where we negotiate where the bank will take the loss instead of you. But none of that's explained. Right? Yeah. So we're going to see so many people that are going to go into bankruptcy. We're going to see so many people that are just going to try to exhaust all their options to stay as long as they can, which is why I think that a lot of these defaults are going to be in waves, because you'll see those people that are proactive and they're like, I got to get out. And then you'll see the people that are like, no, I'm going to do everything I can to stop this until I don't have any more choices and I have to just get out.
100%. So yeah, you can pause your mortgage payment, but you can't pause taxes. You can't pause escrow. You can't pause any of that stuff. And it's going to be, you know, it can quickly jump. Like you just, the example you just gave, that was a $40,000 increase.
It's insane. Like,
it's so insane. It's so crazy too. And I just remember like whenever last year, the pandemic and a lot of that was coming up, and I'm just coming to thinking like when I'd see people talk about it, I'm just thinking, I hope they're doing the research because you can definitely get a big surprise, you know, when you come to sell in the next year or two or even three.
Oh, I did a rant on Facebook about it. I was like, stop telling your clients not to pay. It's like the worst advice you could ever give to someone in the industry. That's crazy.
It is so crazy. So, you know, one thing you've done a fantastic job of is branding yourself. And it's so crazy because like as much as I've known you, like if I hear the word short sell, I immediately think of you. So let's talk about brand building. How have you built such an incredible brand going from, like I said before, you know, some of that you described yourself as unhappy, uncomfortable, you know, people like that usually don't want to put themselves out there and brand themselves. Yeah. How did you build such a solid, fantastic brand within the last 5 years?
So you are spot on. Like I never wanted to be like that person that was like, because here's what people don't realize is how exhausting it is to constantly put content out, like to constantly put yourself out there. Like you guys have no idea if you're not doing it consistently. And that's the thing. I was very transparent with my journey and I started gaining so much traction on social media because I would post like the losses, I would post when I was doing great and I would post when I was doing miserable, and I was just very authentic. And I think people really resonated with a lot of what I was saying. And so it, you know, between that and my reputation, it just took off. Everything I do has always been a referral base and I've always been a resource for the community. So anything I would do as far as like videos and any type of posts, it was very strategic. It was very, you know, to the people that I knew I wanted to stay in front of. And here's the key. I did it every day, right? So I don't anymore because it's built and I just try to stay as consistent as possible. Yeah. But when I was building that brand, every single day I was posting, every single day I was reaching out, I was being intentional in my relationships. And people underestimate what consistency will do, not mm-hmm. only for the brand, but also just to get in front of people, because the algorithms, I mean, it's everything. Because people, it's the thing about social media is that it's great because it's so easy, right? So easy. But at the same time, because it's so easy, the cost of entry is so easy. It's so easy to get lost.
Yeah.
So when you're not consistent with your message and you're not constantly, you know, being, you know, trying to put actual value of like what content of what you're saying, you're not going to be taken seriously. Anybody with a camera, you know, or with the iPhone can be able to shoot content. But if you want to be, you know, have a brand that someone's going to remember, you have to say the same thing. I mean, really different ways. And so, I started on Facebook. That's kind of really where I built my audience, with my Facebook group, and then just on Facebook interacting with people and Messenger, mm-hmm. and then, moved over to Instagram and then now YouTube. And yeah. YouTube has taken me to a whole other level, expanding in all these different markets. So it's been crazy.
That's amazing. And I just love your brand. I love everything you do and is consistent. And one thing that seems like the recurring pattern with you is just like, you are uncensored. You're like, you're authentic. And I'm assuming that's where you're, you know, you have your book, Short Stop Uncensored. But then you're also, you have a podcast too as well. So can you share a little bit about your podcast, Entrepreneurship Uncensored?
Yes. So obviously there's a theme, like you said, just because I don't have a filter. Like this, what you see in real life is right here. Like it's exhausting to try to be two different people. Mm-hmm. And two, I use social media intentionally to build relationships. So there's like two different people on social media. There's one that's like, hey, look at me. And then there's another that's like, hey, let's connect. Right. Yeah. And so for me, I never got on social media to be like the attention. In fact, I'm like, as soon as I got on, I got off. I used it to be strategic of the people that I wanted to align with and the people that I wanted to do business with. Yeah. And that's what was my perspective. And I teach my agents that. I'm like, you have to be intentional with social media. Mm-hmm. You're not on there as a consumer. You're on there as someone that can deliver value, deliver content so that people know who you are. Like for me, it was like, okay, I have the opportunity to reach thousands of people. Instead of going to one networking event, I now have the opportunity to talk to everybody at the event, right? Because I'm online. So that's how I would utilize it. And then my podcast, Entrepreneurship Uncensored, I wanted to kind of expand my brand past short sales and really get an opportunity to meet with, you know, I had you on my podcast and awesome agents and just people in different industries, because really entrepreneurship is all the same, right? Mm-hmm. It's mindset, it's team building, it's leadership. So I wanted to be able to connect. It's allowed me to connect with amazing people that I've enjoyed just sitting down and talking with and connecting with. So
yeah. It was so much fun being on your show. Like we were sitting there chit chatting before you knew it. They're like, all right, we've got to, like, you guys got to cut up. You guys, we're talking too much. We got to go. We got to wrap it up.
The only thing is it goes by so quick.
I was like, oh, wow. That was so crazy. So yeah. For those listening in and watching, what's the best way for them to consume your information? Obviously just within this last 30 minutes, you have dumped so much value. So you guys can only imagine the value she spills on a daily consistent basis on all the social media platforms. So for everyone listening in, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
So I'm very active on Instagram. The Nicole Espinosa, YouTube is the best way to consume as far as content, because we do weekly videos. So you can go to YouTube, the Short Sell Queen, and subscribe, and we put weekly videos out. And then you can always go to our website if you're wanting to partner up with us or just learn more about the company.
I love it. Or if you guys are looking to send a referral because you aren't wanting to handle the short sell, definitely send it to, you have a great website. I was checking it out earlier. So it's,
just revamped it.
It looks fantastic. So it's thesssqueen.com. There's a button right there. You guys can send a referral. You can connect, you can learn, you can grow through Nicole. So, you guys make sure to check her out, follow her, listen to her podcast. You guys follow her on social media, subscribe to her YouTube channel, because, as you guys have can tell, Nicole is the real deal and she does not hold back anything and just gives value. So before I let you go, Nicole, is there anything else you'd like to share with listeners?
I think I'm assuming it's real estate. Your audience is real estate. And I think we talked about just how crazy everything is right now. And I think that if you're a new agent or if you're an agent been doing this a while, hang in there. You know, the people are getting weeded out so much. I think the last statistic was like that I heard a month ago, and I'm sure this has been shared around social media, that there are more realtors than there are houses right now. And in order to really stick out with your brands, like go all in on one thing. You know, it's so easy to get distracted. Like I buy, sell, lease, do commercial, do this. And that's where I think most agents really fall into that trap. And it's like, if you want to be known for something, specialize. So that's probably the best advice I could give to an agent. And it doesn't have to be something like short sales. It could just be like, I work with VA buyers and I know how to get you, you know, closing cost assistance, or I know how to get with new homes, like whatever it is, like specialize so that people can associate you with your brand and you're always going to be ahead of your competition.
That's fantastic advice. And really too, if you guys are listening and you're not a real estate agent, that's any kind of industry, right? Like niche within your industry, specialize. Don't try to be all things for everyone. Nicole, what fantastic advice, girl. I appreciate you taking the time and being on the podcast. Until next time, I know I'll catch up with you later, but I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's your host here, Holly Kitchens, and I just want to say thank you so much for listening to the Unleash Your Inner Legend podcast. I hope you found inspiration and motivation in this episode. For resources to help you unleash your inner legend, go to hollykitchens.com. I will catch you guys on the next episode.